Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church this morning. Do we have any visitors this morning? I didn't see any, but okay. All right. Well, let's take just a moment to greet your neighbor and just say hello to those you haven't seen in a little while. Know about you all, but I've certainly enjoyed the weather this past week. It's been wonderful. It's not good for the allergies, but I like the warmth. I believe Louise is going to pass out the register book. Please be sure and register your attendance. Do we have any announcements this morning? Pam? You will also take walk-ins, though, won't you? But you'd prefer to have the appointments lined up. Okay. So for those of you that can't plan ahead, but you decide on Saturday that you'd like to be pampered, be sure and come to the church.
If you show up, there'll be another activity going on in the gym Sunday, the weight loss program, but that's pre-signed up, I understand. And so that'll be in the gym, and that'll be in the youth. And you're full.
Breakfast is also next Saturday.
Next Saturday, 7 o'clock.
Next Saturday is a busy day.
Busy day.
Any other announcements?
Work is progressing, and hopefully the home and
other announcements? All right. What about prayer and praise requests?
I'll go ahead. Trey Peck is Ross Arnold's son's stepson. Trey Peck got some kind of staph infection. He's a soldier. And then Tom Morris is a neighbor who also lives in West Tennessee but has a house here. This week, Tuesday, he was fine, didn't know anything was wrong with him, and discovered cancer throughout his body. So Tom Morris, lift him up. There may be others. Think about it.
Thanks.
You might actually have to slow down just a little bit.
I saw a long time ago Mother's Day out mom yesterday, and her youngest son, Nicholas King, he is now soldiering in Baghdad, and he is a special assistant to a general that has to go in and out of Baghdad, and there are other soldiers recently killed doing this line of work. So I asked if we could pray for Nicholas because he was a little tight. Now he's 20 years old.
Nicholas King.
He's putting his life in danger for us.
Easier to spell. We're very glad to see Savannah back at the organ this morning.
She's doing good.
And you are doing well? Good. Well, she looks always looks great. But any other prayer requests? Nicole and Miranda.
Because he'd lift up the Benias' family. His mother, Mr. Benias' mother, was buried Monday. But we talked about that last week. But offer your condolences if you feel it.
And immediately, with recurrent fever, flu-like symptoms, relax.
Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worshiping God. Our gathering words this morning are from Psalm 30. Please stand. I will praise you, O God, for you have lifted me up and have given my enemies no cause to rejoice. Hearing my cries for help, you healed me. Bringing me from the very depths of hell, you restored my life. Let all faithful people give thanks and praise God's holy name. For your anger, O God, lasts but a moment, while your graciousness lasts a lifetime. Weeping lingers for a night, but joy comes with the morning. May our praise never be silenced as we give thanks and praise God forever and ever.
Turn your hymnals now, please, to hymn 481. This is Stand Up for Jesus with a different tune, but I think we'll all recognize it.
Lord, we stand before you. Lord, we want to lift you high. We want to lift the cross high. And you have said if you be lifted up, you'll draw all people to you. And we thank you for that promise. Lord, we confess that we have failed in so many experiences to lift you up. But Lord, we pray that you would give us more opportunities, forgiving us when we have failed. And Lord, give us the courage, the know-how, the ability, Lord, to just lift up Jesus, that lives might be redeemed, souls might be redeemed for heaven. Lord, we know that we are a sinful people, we are alienated from God, but you bring us back into fellowship with Him. So we express that trust and that faith this morning, depending on what you did on the cross for us, giving your life in our place, in our stead. And Lord, we just come thankful, and we want to be people who live lives that just show our thanksgiving, not only by what we say, but what we do. Lord God, we just thank you for this gathering, and these who have come this morning, and these who will come later. We thank you, Lord, for your people throughout the world who are meeting, or will meet today, or have already met today in your name. We rejoice in our fellow Christians, our fellow believers, that we're just look forward to fellowshipping around your throne in heaven. And now, Lord, continue to guide us in this hour. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing. We're going to sing a contemporary song.
This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Time to recite our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It is found in your hymnal on 716 or on the screen. Please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
now time that we come to the Lord confessing our sin. Our call to confession comes from Lamentations chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. If you would please join me with our prayer of confession in unison. Eternal God, we assemble today as your people, a people created in your image. We acknowledge with gratitude the many ways you have shown compassion to us. Although we have sinned and often fall short in being the people you intend us to be, convict us as we often fail to show compassion to one another. Forgive us in the times that we ignore the suffering of others, when we are self-centered and insensitive. Help us actively seek opportunities to love others better. Amen. Our words of assurance. As members of your creation, we are thankful that you are a God who is intimately aware of our shortcomings and who forgives us for all that we confess.
Please to hymn 473, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story of the Savior from glory, how he saved his life from glory. Precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin, from the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and loved me with his redeeming blood. He left there, I knew him, and all my love is new him. He plunged me to victory, leaps of cleansing flood. I heard in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory. About a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I've heard about the streets of gold he unleashed all sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me. with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Would our ushers please come forward.
We should be the most joyful people on the planet as we consider the grace that He's poured out on us. Permit us now to joyfully return to You a portion of what You so graciously have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Please be seated.
I've never been in a church where I haven't sinned once a month. Got to. Get to.
Get to. Okay. Some are so, have such good words, and I really wanted us to just sort of listen to these words. So what I'm doing today is, I think it's worse than that. He called me up to find out what I was singing. I said, I can't remember right now, but it's 189. So I dared him to put 189 in the hymnal, but he, in the bulletin, but he didn't. It's called Calvary Covers It All. You know, I was raised in a church that believed in grace, but you also had to do a lot of work to keep your salvation. And the very fact that it's Calvary that does it, and I didn't realize that until I saw it, that it's really Calvary that covers my sins. And I'm going to mess up and do things and not do things and all these things that happen as you go along in your Christian life. But it's really a God thing. And I think the words of this song, my past with its sin and shame, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on me there and Calvary covered me.
Lesson this morning will be read by Chris and Juliana.
Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive of a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went to with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than any waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more, then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy.
I'll be reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. The word of God for the people of God.
And thanks be to God. Leprosy. Do you know, have you known anyone with leprosy? Can you think? Do you know anyone with something as frustrating, disturbing as leprosy? As we read about leprosy. Throughout the years, I've heard more than one sermon on leprosy. Go back and read just a little bit in some Bible commentaries, and I've picked up one recent one and written recently, and then one by William Barclay, who wrote back, in, I guess, in the 50s and 60s. And if you can stand it, if I can stand it, we may share just a little bit about the terribleness of leprosy. But we find Jesus coming, and that's the subject of our sermon today. Should be the subject of most sermons. We may have some sermons where we use Jesus' words or God's word or what God can do. And now He is reaching out to us through Jesus. But let's think about Jesus and how He dealt with leprosy. We don't want just a lesson on leprosy. Jesus was busy. You know how busy he was? Very busy. He was busy preaching. He was busy teaching. He was busy healing. He was busy praying. And we see Jesus doing all of this in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. What we've been 4 or 5 weeks in the chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus healed a person who had an evil spirit. Jesus healed a person who had a fever. Jesus, the scriptures say, healed many. Many who had various diseases. And he drove out many demons. And today, we find Jesus ministering to or healing a person with leprosy. Leprosy was a disease that one did not want to catch. Today, we don't hear much about leprosy, but I keep hearing that there was once, I'm not sure it was still there, there was once a leper hospital in somewhere in Louisiana. And I believe you can check that out pretty easily. What disease or sickness evokes the most fear when you hear the word today? Think about that. I think of cancer. And when it's us, it does a number on you. Worse than heart disease in our family. I found a diseased heart. They found my heart was diseased, they call it. They keep talking about it. Didn't know it was diseased, but it has some problems, has some blockage, that's a disease. But we can usually fix that, we think. A little surgery, a few pills, and a lot of exercise, and on your way. Cancer. We don't know where, don't know how to deal with it yet. They're trying. And it showed up in Carol's life, 1999. And then we went 5 years, and it showed up again. You know, 5 years, you're cured. They say, well, it showed up again. A different kind. Well, this is that fifth year. She wouldn't go to the doctor, but she went back. I kept saying, Carol, you've got to go. You've got to go to the doctor. Finally, this week, Thursday, she went again and came home with, I guess, a preliminary good report. But when you hear cancer in your family, it does something to you. It's kind of like emotionally knocking the breath out of you if it hasn't happened to you. What I can learn about leprosy, it was so much worse. I'm believing that it was even worse than when we hear HIV or AIDS. It was believed to be contagious. People with leprosy were forced to live outside the community or the city. But they lived near the city or a large population where people could give them alms or support them, where they could beg. They couldn't work. And they were required to yell unclean if they came near any people. The leper's body and some of the stuff in the information that we find in Barclay, he says that there are three kinds of leprosy. There is nodular or tubercular, and it begins with an unaccountable lethargy and an unaccountable pain in the joints. Now, some people hear a disease and they immediately think, I've got it. And when I started taking psychology, and every disease they came up with in psychology, I was psychotic and neurotic and all that before I got out of the first class, you know. And so if you hear this, don't say, oh, I've got it. There appears on the body, and especially the back, some symmetrical discolored patches, and on them little nodules form, pink, then they turn brown. The skin gets thick. The nodules gather in the folds of the cheek, the nose, the lips, and the forehead. That's about enough, isn't it? Then there's another kind. It's called anesthetic leprosy. And the initial stages are the same, but in this kind of leprosy, the nerve trunks are affected. The infected area loses all sensation or no feeling, etc. That's enough about that one. The third kind of leprosy, the commonest of all, where there was a mixture of nodular and anesthetic leprosy, that was leper proper, or is leper proper. And there were many lepers like that in Palestine in the time of Jesus. Go to Leviticus 13, Old Testament. There were laws concerning the leper back in Moses' day. And from that description, it's quite clear that in the New Testament times, the term leprosy covered many skin diseases. And understand, even houses could get leprosy. It was something like a mildew of sorts. But is that bad enough? Do you want to read any more? Some things you say, move on, and let's don't talk about it. Because, you know, I'm one that, if it gets to a certain point, I say, enough, enough. Get on with the good part of it. And there is a good part to this story. The man came to Jesus, and he begged him, begging Jesus. He was in much need. He had been ostracized from his family. He had been separated from his community, and he came to Jesus, "Jesus, make me clean." And it says that he came on his knees. And he came and said to Jesus, you can read it right before you, "If you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean." But when a man comes on his knees, when a man comes begging, that kind of goes against most of the grain of most of us. So we can say, though, that he was humbled. Leprosy had humbled him, or he was an humble person. And as I read this passage, how could anyone be more humbled or more humble than this man? But we'll go back to that Old Testament lesson. Now, Naaman's leprosy, back in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman's leprosy really hadn't got a hold of him like this man in the New Testament that approached Jesus. He was hurting, we can believe. He was desperate. He was at the point of begging. He was at the point of falling on his knees to ask for help. Naaman, though he had leprosy, so far I guess he could cover it up with his military uniform. We can kind of assume that. His wife knew about it. The little servant girl, Jewish servant girl, knew about it. But did the rest of the society, community know about it? And then he went to the king, though, and told him. And he said, the little servant girl says that I can go to Israel and get help, get cured. So the king said, go, man. He was a great military leader. He didn't want to lose him. He wanted to use him. And so the king said, go. Gave him some money. Gave him a letter. And he went over to the Israeli king. And the Israeli king says, I'm not God. I can't do this. But send him down to Elisha. Elisha the prophet. And to show the arrogance of Naaman, as opposed to the humbleness of the man in the New Testament, the man in the New Testament came humbly. The man, Naaman, in the Old Testament came rather arrogant. I've got money. I've got a letter from my king. I'm a great military leader. And he went to Elisha's door, and Elisha did not even show him the courtesy of going out to meet him. Wow! here I am, I've come this long way to see you, and I brought goods, and I've got a letter from my king, and you won't come out to meet me? And all Elisha would say, go down and wash in the Jordan. This angered Naaman. And he kind of pinched a fit. You know what a fit is? Anybody ever pinched a fit? Anybody not ever pinched a fit? Didn't think so. All of us have pinched fits, right? Of some sort or another. I still remember me and an elder had a disagreement once. Well, me and a session had a disagreement once, and one elder came to me and accused me of pinching a fit. And I did. I had pinched a fit. So some of us preachers know how. It's not healthy to, I can tell you. Not good job security, but you can still pinch them. And Naaman, it wasn't good for him to pitch a fit. But he did. He pitched a fit. See verses 10 and 11 and 12. 10 and 11 and 12. The 2 Kings lesson. Go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman, this is 12. No, this is 11. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over me, over the spot, and cure my leprosy. Today we'd say, well, I thought surely he'd bring the TV cameras in and bring a big crowd in, make a big show of it. That's what happens now in the healing services, or many of them, is it not? But Naaman expected this, but Elisha wasn't about to do it. He stayed in the back room, I guess, and said, go wash in the Jordan. Don't make a big show of it. God is good. God is faithful. God is powerful. God is able. Go and wash in the Jordan. I don't need to come out and go through all these contortions, if you will. I don't need to make a big spectacle of this situation. God is doing the healing. I'm not. This was, I'm putting words in Elisha's mouth, but the way he acted, that's what he was saying. God is doing the healing. Go wash in the Jordan, and you'll be made clean. When Naaman finally got over his pouting, you know what pouting is too, don't you? If all of us done a little pouting every once in a while. He did as Elisha said, and he was cured of his leprosy. His skin became clean. Back to the New Testament lesson, Jesus was filled with compassion for the man that he met. Jesus touched him. That was a no-no. People were fearful of catching it. They afraid they would get could contact the disease. Jesus touched him and cured him. It's verse 41. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. And the man had said, if you're willing, you can cure me or heal me. And Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. But then the story, well, the man came. I can imagine him saying, Lord, if you'll cure me, I'll do anything you say. I've heard it, I've heard it, I've heard it. If you'll help me through this tough time, I'll do what you suggest. I will honor you, Lord, if you'll get me out of this one. I've heard drunk people throwing up and throwing up. And said, there's nothing left to throw up. And they said, Lord, get me over this one and I won't do it again. Well, they're lying. The ones that I knew. But that's just one example of how we can make promises and not live up to them. Jesus told the man not to tell. Now why? It was not reverse psychology. People were flocking to Jesus for the help that he could give them. If you read this and read other parts of the Gospels, you will find that people were more interested in their physical life than they were in eternity. They were more interested in their body than they were their soul. They were interested in the here and now and not out there, after this life. They were interested in what Jesus could do for them. But Jesus came to earth, yes, to help us through this life, but Jesus came to earth for more than this life. Jesus came to prepare people for eternity. He came to help people, teach them how to live in this life, but how to be prepared and live in the hereafter. And if word kept spreading about Jesus healing people, he would have no time for preaching. He would have no time for forgiving sin. He would have no time for teaching. And Jesus knew that his role was greater than that role of healing physical bodies, though to the sick man, especially this man, it was so important. But Jesus knew that he must not use all of his time for physical healing. And a few verses prior to this passage, you can find that in the Gospel of Mark. He left. He went on away because he had come to preach. And he had to get away from the people that had come for healing. So Jesus sent the man to the priest. The priest was to pronounce him clean, cured for his diseases, and then the man could re-enter society. And then go home to his family. Did the man ever go to the priest? It's not in the Bible if he did. It says, instead of going to the priest, he did the very opposite of what Jesus told him to do. He did the very opposite of the instructions that Jesus gave him. And so often, in today's world, that's where we find ourselves doing the very opposite of what Jesus has taught us to do. Think about it in your own life. Things that you know that Jesus says to do, and you say, well, I haven't been doing them. Well, I can't do that. Well, I can't do that. How many of us can see ourselves in this man's action? You say, how could he? But it's there. And remember, when he came, when he was sick, when he was hurting, when his body was covered with leprosy, he was so humble. But when he got what he wanted and what he needed, it was a different story, was it not? How could he be so unresponsive to the one who had given him his life back, so to speak? And there were some results of him not doing what Jesus said. Jesus didn't take back the healing. Jesus didn't cast leprosy upon him again. Jesus is nicer than that. But Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but he had to stay out in the lonely places. Because word had spread that he's a healer, and they said, heal me, heal me, heal me, and that's all they wanted. Yet people still came to him from everywhere. He couldn't get away from them. Why is it that those that Jesus has saved will not obey him and will not honor him? And how am I responding to Jesus, who has blessed us and continues to bless us? Amen and amen. Let's turn to 336. The song is Jesus I Come. It's an invitation song. It's a commitment song. I'm coming to you, Jesus. I'm coming to you. Not only to get what I need, but to commit myself to honoring you by the life that I live. 336. We say 1 and 3, but let's sing 1.